Hi, Shalom Aleichem. Thank you so much for dialing in. We're going to get started right now in the middle of the fifth parak of Masilas Yesharim. We had opened this parak just a few weeks ago. As we slowly opened this parak, is arguably the most fundamental problem in the entire Sefer. Because if all Masilas Yesharim is about the Masila, but trying a course and getting onto a trajectory of growth, and studying how one step leads to the next, working off of the words of the Holy Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, because the Jews leads to Jesus, and Jesus to Nikias, and so on and so forth.
The conference has been muted.
Been studying what are the roadblocks to the first step. What are the mafsidim to the Jews is really studying what are the key roadblocks you have to understand how we're going to overcome in order to get onto a system of a real path towards growth. And as we slowly open, Amchal says, Parakeh is going to look at three key roadblocks, three key obstacles that a Jew faces in trying to get into the zone of growth, trying to get onto a path towards ambitious growth in one's relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The first was busyness, simply just getting so busy, often with good, important things, not always, but often with good, important things, but just so busy that things are urgent that one runs out of time, one runs out of headspace, the things that are not as urgent but are very, very, very important, the long-term concern, where are we going and what are we trying to accomplish. And that was the opening topic of the parak. We had a chance to see as well in this concept. He spoke about the importance of Kviyas Itim for learning in general, and then a fixed time, scheduling time for learning in general, and scheduling time specifically for carving out time for this sort of his bonus, this sort of self-reflection. He spoke also, we saw the opening lines of the Tarek about the incredible value of Talmud Torah, not only in terms of knowing Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but the experience of Talmud Torah is something that is such a powerful recipe in our growth, and making sure you have time to grow and to learn, and to learn Torah in general, and specifically to learn Machshava, to learn what the Torah has to say about us, about our dreams, and our passion, and our focus, and this is incredibly, incredibly important. And that was the first of three. Being too busy was the first of three major mafsidim. Why is this? The first, the here we pick up in section Tesvav. Again, the Safari edition. We're looking at Perek He, the fifth Perek, section Tesvav, paragraph 16. He says, yeah, I'm offset. This first roadblock, this first obstacle that of being too busy, it is the most universal. Everyone grapples with time. Everyone grapples with just being busy with stuff. It comes first because, number one, it applies to all of us. Perhaps also comes first because, as he goes on to say, he knew who I was a cow, and he should have said, leave my late. She didn't let me know. It's also the easiest, if you're interested in escaping the problem, it's the easiest to solve. The easiest to solve because, look, Lamasa, the solution is relatively straightforward, at least in concept. Solution is, you gotta, as I said, you got to block out time in the grid. You got to carve out time. Be Kovea Zman, Kovea Ace for learning, Kovea Ace for thought and his bonus. Obviously, often, easier said than done. But at least in concept, the way forward is relatively clear. Ahasheni, moving to paragraph 59, but the second major obstacle, it comes second because this is really, really tough. It's not going to apply to everyone. But if it's a player in your life, it's really rough to deal with. B'hu ha'shok, b'halatam. It is, what do those words mean? If you were with me this past Friday night, we heard Rabbi Lapiansky speak about this topic as well. Shok, b'halatam. Shok in this context does not mean being funny. It doesn't mean having a great sense of humor. laughing in the sense of scorn, lockdown, in the sense of cynicism. So it just has the ability, the inclination to just, not to be funny, but to make fun, to just knock everything down, to not be willing to give significance, to give importance to whatever it is. The natural reaction is to cut things down. The natural reaction is to drain things of their significance, and everything is no good, and everything is cut down, and everything is, that in one's mevatel, everything, that's lotzon. That's cynicism. You should tovea bum, if you're drowning in cynicism, hinehu kimisha tovea bi amagado, shakasha ma'odi amalaynao. It's like you're drowning in the middle of that drain, or just in the middle of a large body of water. You think Yonah. Tossed off the boat in the middle of the Mediterranean. He survives miraculously, but without a miracle, without an ace, how would he possibly have made it to shore? It's overwhelming. Ramchal makes a very important point. And let's see what he says and let's think about it together. He says, cynicism, scorn, destroys one's lathe. And it becomes clear that he means, I think, lathe in the sense that Yaakov Kametsky understands it in Biblical Hebrew, and Yaakov Kametsky in his Sefer and Chumash, in either Vashanan or Ekev comments that the word lathe, what does it mean? To put it for Olive Avecha. What's the lathe? Yaakov Kametsky writes, well, all kinds of say it's the heart. How do you say brain in Biblical Hebrew? In the language of Mishnah, brain is a moach. But not in the language of Tanakh. Is it conceivable that there's no term for the brain in Biblical Hebrew? Can't be, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamensky. He says, it must be the word lev. In the language of Tanakh, lev means both. Lev means heart, and lev means brain. He may have spoke, coming back to the language of Yisrael, Ma'adayis lev ha'adam. It destroys our heart, perhaps it destroys our brain. Certainly, as Ramchal continues to speak, it's clear that he's talking about our rational faculties, not our emotional side. For Ehud Tam, that doesn't say that cynicism will destroy your ability to feel for others, to empathize. He says, cynicism destroys your ability to think clearly. You're not thinking. Your brain is not in charge. Rational thought is no longer in charge. The person is drowning in cynicism, he's enveloped with cynicism. You know, like someone's drunk. Like someone who's a number schizophrenic. It's not in touch with reality. You can't really offer successfully, effectively offer guidance to someone who's drunk. It's offer guidance to someone who is severely mentally incapacitated, just is not aware of reality. Someone who's hallucinating, someone who's hearing voices. How are you going to give someone, this sort of person, guidance? In the Makabla and Hadda, it's not going to work. They said someone who's adrift in a sea of cynicism, he's lost his rational faculties. He's acting the height of irrationality. Let's think for a moment of what the Ramchal just said. It's remarkable because the Yetzer Hara for cynicism, the Yetzer Hara, the drive to always just want to cut everything else down, we all know it's the Yetzer Hara that afflicts particularly people who are smart, particularly people who would like to be thought of as smart. And it burnishes my image as an intellectual, or perhaps more correctly as a pseudo-intellectual. But it'll burnish my intellectual image. Right? I'm smart, I'm sharp, witty, and turn that smart wit to the goal of cutting down everyone and everything else. Right? And that's a big part of the Yetzer of cynicism. It makes us feel smart. It makes me feel like I'm one of the I'm part of the intellectual in crowd. Ramchal points out that ironically, It's certainly true that that's the impression that they have. It's certainly true that might be the Yetzer Hara, the drive to be cynical. It might be to burnish my sense of being a brilliant person. But the truth is that cynicism is actually profoundly irrational. It's not really an intelligent approach to life at all. Certainly it's not empirical. It's not factual. Well, let's think about it for a moment. Not everything is silly. Not everything is valueless. There's often this false dichotomy in our minds that either I'm sort of Pollyannish and everything is wonderful and everyone always means well, sort of looking at life through rose-colored glasses. And we know that's an immature way of looking at the world. Not everyone means well. Not everything is wonderful. Not everything is meaningful, for sure.
The false dichotomy where, oh, it's immature and sophisticated, it is the opposite, which is to be cynical. And Amchal, I think, is pointed out here, that's not the alternative to being polyamorous. It's not being
cynical. They're both unrealistic. Because it's certainly true that not everyone means well, not all.
I didn't mean their entities and their organization in life meaningful before. But it's equally, because it's not true that no one means well. And it's not true that nothing is meaningful. Cynicism is on the other extreme of the polyamorous. They're both false. What will be more accurate is a middle position, which would be to be neither polyamorous nor cynical, but to be realistic. Realism is the opposite of both.
Realism is to see things as they are, and to look at things with mature, open eyes, a clear-eyed perspective on reality. Some people mean well, some people don't. Most people are a complex mix of the two. Some things have meaningfulness, and some things don't. And some things are silly, but not everything is silly. And that's actually a more empirical, more accurate perspective, to be realism. Not cynicism. If I'm cynical and everything gets cut down and everything is bad and everything is negative, so I may feel very smart and being cynical, but the truth is that I'll just tell us, point to that out. The truth is it's a profoundly irrational way of looking at life. And not only is it irrational, a sort of comprehensive cynicism, but as he said, it's also going to impair me. I'm not going to be able to be guided. What that means, he continues to develop the next few paragraphs. Let's take a look. Paragraph he designed. What Shlomo tells us in Kohelet, what's going to be accomplished, not through genuine simcha, but through shallow Latin etching. Chazal amru, Mishnah and others, tzchok v'kalos rosh magilim et ha'adam le'eva. Redheadedness, Latin etching, can make, to margil a person to arayos, to sexual immorality. What does that mean? And what is the Mishnah telling me about a nafkamina? By an application, about an impact that choke, that luxum, that cynicism can have in my life. But what does it mean? It's margo me to ever. It's a margo me to inappropriate, sexually inappropriate situation. He explained. Here we are in the middle of paragraph he died. Paragraph he died in the Safari edition. He also pisha chamur you however, it's called Ben Das. Even though sexual morality is understood to be very severe by any ben das, some here in the Safari edition is das with an ayin, any thinking person. I believe the other versions have ben das is dal taf, any religious person. In other words, any religious, thinking religious person understands that ever is among the most severe issues. And to handle sexuality inappropriately is religiously severe. The leader yelled, "Let me kill them all." And I'm naturally going to be very, very hesitant to get anywhere near that. Why? Because of the image that I have in my mind, the Anita Gogo Pishah, the Rav Onsha. I recognize that the truth, the reality of how great and avera this is. I recognize how profound and horrific the punishment would be for such a chet. So, Baruch Hashem, naturally hesitant to go anywhere near Gibur HaRev. Inappropriate sexual situation. And yet, even though that would be the natural reaction of a thinking religious person, but step by step, Tzolk and Kalas Rosh will pull me slowly, gradually closer. Now, creeping us all over the terrain. How? To be a Yura Salameh of Ma'atma, Madrega, Madrega. That natural sense of Yura, that awareness of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that awareness of the magnitude of such an Avera, slowly melts away through repeated application of cynicism, because I can't take anything seriously. I shared you out on Atma Yaseh to the point where Rachamon Slan, I can actually approach the Chet itself. And do something unthinkable. The Chol Kach Lama in paragraph Yitzchak, how did that happen? What's the dynamic? What's the movement here? If you should come, Moshe called Matthias as the heroes. Tali Basima Talein, Aladava, just like the essence of the heroes, of this positive first Mida, thoughtfulness is focusing on things, the ability to look at something, at a person, to look at, consider an idea, and recognize the gravity of the idea, to recognize its seriousness. The essence of cynicism is to draw my focus away from thinking straight. Draw my focus away from analytic thinking. I won't be able to think things through. So he says, look, the first impact of cynicism is that it just disables me from taking things seriously. It disables me from seeing things as they are, from being able to realistically look at something and say, look, this has significance to it, this has substance to it. And when I'm cynical, instead of being realistic and empirical and factual and accurate and see things as they are, I have this knee-jerk reaction to always put everything down. A knee-jerk reaction to assume that nothing is ever meaningful and no person is ever authentic. That's not real. That's not true. That's a knee-jerk cynical reaction. That's the state. That's stereotyping the whole world, painting the whole world with a broad brush of meaninglessness. That's profoundly false and is going to disable me from being able to take seriously, is going to profoundly disable me to be able to grow my views, recognizing the things in life that matter, and things like that I need to invest in. And so I have this sort of defense mechanism of cynicism that doesn't allow anything to impact. He goes on in the next paragraph, I believe that next week, we'll pick up with, the next time we learn, we'll let him pick up with paragraph your test. Paragraph your test, he introduces a visual image of this sort of defensiveness, talks about cynicism as a shield that's not allowing positive things to get in. In addition, in the section your test, he's going to introduce us to a second negative impact of cynicism, a second negative dynamic. And so far, again, we were introduced in our learning today, our learning in Parakei from paragraph 10, Zion, to paragraph 12, the notion of lysemus, of cynicism, is something that robs us of the ability to appreciate the meaningful things in life. It robs us of the ability to be able to take them seriously. we don't, if we can't see the value in things, so then we can't invest ourselves in anything. Can't invest ourselves in relationships. Sure, can't invest in a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and can't invest focus and cure. And actually, you're doing it right, and that gets in the way of the hearers. So next time we will see another very negative dynamic that cynicism plays out.
The conference has been muted.
Well, thank you so much for...